Good evening. We'll continue our Bible study series. Just have fun with the Word of God and with God teaching us together. Okay. Today I have, Romans 16, verse 16. Okay, I'll read it. Salute one another with an holy kiss. This is kind of like the last thing of after all the things the Apostle Paul has spoken to the Romans. He's saying, give one another a holy kiss. Okay. It's like, I imagined it like this, like having said all, having done all, having known all, finally, like the icing on the cake, the finish is like greet one another with a holy kiss, you know, it's like. So, maybe we could take 2 minutes to do that. Just kidding. Okay, before, we'll just read a portion of scripture and we will do a little bit of discussion. But, you know, there is this whole thing about greetings and kisses. It's, and I have like a message on that. Like, pray for me, okay? Like how, right? Different kinds. Different kinds of hugs in the church, different kinds of handshakes, and then there are different kinds of kisses, okay? And then, and it is like, you know, the greeting is basically like cheek to cheek, you just like touch, and then, you know, it's somewhat like you make a sound in the mouth as you touch the other person's cheek, right? It's like something like that. So it's a double kiss is like, but if it's like a special thing, you do three times, okay? It's like that a lot in Latin America. Every time you see people like a church, you're like kissing everybody. And that's like was revolutionary to me. It changed like, you know, my whole perspective of things. And there would be this, for a church service or a Bible class or something, people come in and then like you're greeting everyone, you know, with a kiss. And so first comes like a lady and then you like, you know, it's like, oh, cool. And like, you know, another lady, like, oh, that was so soft. It's like so good, you know, in a good way, like, you know. And then you see like a big burly guy like called Pablo or something, like, you know, with like a beard and like a stubble. And then he comes and you go like, it's like, oh, it's like, you know, a toilet brush went against your face or something. And then next, another lady. So you're like, oh, it's like, oh, it's like, it feels good again. It really is like that, but in a very pure sense, okay? Okay. What does it mean? Okay. So, I'm done with already like the scripture, the illustration, and I'm about to close, okay? Okay. I'll read a scripture portion from Jeremiah chapter 17, and then for like a few minutes we can talk about it. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Yeah, something else about kissing. Like, you know, like little kids, we kiss little, like small babies differently, right? In our church also, like chubby cheeks, like so soft, and then you're like, you give a kiss. For you, it's like, oh, wow, like, you know. But for the child, we don't know what the child's experience is. Like, you know, usually they're like cringing. They're like, you know. Or the worst, I think, in the view of a child is if you have like a mustache and then you're like going towards the cheek of the child and then you like plant a kiss on the cheek and then it's like, you know, oh, the child cannot cry out, but then, you know, still like behaves. Yeah, so why are we still talking about that? Okay, Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Wow, that's like one of my favorite phrases, shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Okay. So in these four verses, there are like two kinds of people, right? How about we take like 2 minutes to just talk about it? Like, you know, how would you compare these two kinds of people? Who are these two kinds of people? Share that with your neighbor, okay? 2 minutes, and then you could do that. You could move around also if you'd like. Please feel free. I heard a very good comment there from the back rows with the that it could be like someone who is looking, whose attention has changed from God to something else, different things, you know. Awesome thoughts. I'm sure similar thoughts, maybe, like, you know, maybe after the session, like, I couldn't hear from more of what you think about it. Okay, so the thought here is very simple. When we think of the word love, and when we think of the word faith, both are inseparable. Both always go hand in hand. And when it comes to our life with God, to see one without the other would be like misunderstanding who God is. Okay, both faith and love. Okay, the Christian is thinking, what God has given me. I know many things about who I am, but what's stopping me? Sometimes, have you ever felt like that? What is stopping me? And it's a good question to ask, and it's not self-introspection, but it is like, in a good way, like soul-searching. And the question is, how do I have the power to live a life filled with meaning and purpose? Okay? When it comes to knowing what meaning is, when it comes to knowing what purpose is, we know and we have been taught in these things. But the power to live a life that is filled with these is like the big question. It doesn't mean a perfect life. It doesn't mean like, you know, like well-behaved, but it means exactly that, like, you know, having a tasting of what it means, both faith and love working together in us and through us. Okay, so the kiss that we referred to before is something very important, and a holy kiss, a brotherly kiss. What does it really mean? Okay, two or three things I could think of. One is brotherly affection. Okay, just meaning seeing a brother or a sister in the way God has made them to be. Right? That is like a kiss. Imagine someone comes to church, like, it's like the next person that walks into church, I'll give a holy kiss. You know, and it just means that whoever it is, I will see that person the way God sees them. Okay? And another way is a kiss is something that we are talking about this in our church history classes, that it sets everybody in an even place. Even place. Okay? In the early church, there was, as in throughout history, there was people who were like different classes in the society. People who were like aristocrats who got saved, people like slaves, and people who were like middle class people got saved. All of them are attending church, and they're all asked to greet one another with a kiss. It just means, you know, whoever we are, you know, it's fine. Master, slave, and all that is okay. That's outside the church. Here, we are greeting each other with a kiss. Even place before God. You see? I think, you know, the story of the rich young ruler? We don't have to turn there, but I always think about, you know, Jesus says what? Yeah, you have done all these things in your life, but one thing you lack. Okay? What was it? Go sell his possession. But the thing is, a fresh thought was that Jesus is not testing him. Jesus is not putting his faith to the test by saying that. Jesus was saying, if you want to come and follow me, you have to be in an even place. Okay? It doesn't mean, like, you have to learn that. It doesn't mean give up your possessions or something like that. But in the heart attitude, that has to change. Okay? And another meaning for kiss would be like sweetness of fellowship. Okay? Just sweetness of fellowship. Meaning, have you ever like met someone like, you know, from after a long time, a close friend, a close relative, family member, and then you are just maybe just looking at each other and you like, there are not many words spoken, but there is so much of communication. No words, but a lot of communication. Just smiles, but a lot of communication through a smile. Like, you know, Tony, I think he'll like, you know, I hope he doesn't get upset with me. Tony Lonan, he taught me how to evangelize, like, you know, way back many years ago. He said, if you're afraid to share the gospel with somebody, you first stand at a distance, look at them, and then smile at them. If they smile back, go and talk to them, you know. It's like, you know. It's like, you know. What if they don't smile back? Okay. I'm having some fun. Okay. So, yeah, is that good? Sweetness of fellowship. Okay. Jesus said to Judas, what? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a... You know, and then Judas is like, no, Lord, I love you. No, I know you. And, you know, and another similar word is when Jacob deceived his father Isaac to bless him instead of Esau, when he was stealing the birthright, it says Jacob, Isaac says, come and kiss me so I know that you are really Esau. And Jacob is wearing all kinds of camouflage and Esau's scent and everything. But his greatest test was he had to kiss Isaac like the way Esau would kiss him. You know, he had to like manufacture a kiss. It's like no wonder, like, you know, he was like top of the top, like very, very smart guy. somewhere in his genes, that there is like some Indian genes in that. don't worry about it. Okay. It's like, no, I didn't say that. Okay. I have. Yeah. So, do we have enough time? Okay. We have enough time to like refer to two scripture portions and we are done, okay? One is in Luke 7. Luke 7. This is Jesus invited by a Pharisee named Simon, and he is at his house having a meal, okay? In Luke chapter 7, and in verse 37 of that chapter, a woman comes. The verse says, woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed. Now, the Pharisee is thinking what? Like, you know, look at this lady. She's like, she has like terrible history and all that stuff, right? And Jesus says this. Let us just pay attention to one verse here in verse 40. Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. And then there is like the whole parable Jesus gives an example. And in verse 45, Jesus catches him. He says, like, look, Simon, you put a meal and you did all these things, but you did not wash my feet. You did not, you gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Okay? So that's a good example for this message. How? It's like that. It's like that rich young ruler. One thing you lack, okay? And in this chapter, Jesus is in the Pharisee's house, okay? That is like God is in man's context. A context is like a box, okay, or like a room. God is in man's context, and man is trying to see how God can fit his context. That is the heart of what idolatry is. That is the heart of what religion is. And that is who we could kind of be in our heart attitude. Okay, even as believers, even as Christians. And he says that, so here is the thing. One important thought is whenever God has something to say to us, okay, like, I have somewhat to say to you, a wise response would be, Master, say on. Yeah, like, God, tell me. And so we read the chapter in Jeremiah chapter 17, right? The man who trusts in himself, or the arm of the flesh in his own ability, could be like this. Like, I want God in, like, my context. I want God in my, like, grip. Okay? And it is the deceit of self-centeredness. It's just self-centeredness. And so much could be said about that. But here is what happens. He sees the heat when it comes. When things get tough, it's like he cannot handle it, because like the man just knows how to have God in his grip. So when the heat comes, he cannot handle it. Okay? But what we are trying to say is God wants to show us through the gospel, what did God do? God brought us, God brought man into the context of his love. Correct? God brought man into the context of his love. God put man in the Garden of Eden. Eden was God's garden. So, when we are able to make a change in our mind and see that God wants us to be in his context, you and I every time can experience the blessedness of the person who trusts in God. Very simple. And you don't see the heat when it comes. It's like what problem? What heat? We're having fun. This is like amazing, you know? So far, so good. Okay. Last scripture portion for today is Genesis chapter 3. We'll go to that, okay? God's context is the Garden of Eden, and man is in that garden.
Where is it?
Okay, so this is the part in the chapter where the fall of man happens. The devil speaks half-truth, a lie, and the man and the woman believe it, and they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 7, it says, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. And God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Once I heard a message once, I don't know who preached it, he said the greatest call of love, and he preached the message like, Adam, where are you? You know, but here is the thought. Okay, do you see this? Like God's context and man is in it. There's also a joke. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. You know, a pastor doing visits. Maybe I have. There's a pastor who has a lot of like visitors. He's following up with the new visitors in the church, and he takes the visitors' slips, calls them up, and then he drops by somebody's house, and he knocks on the door, whatnot, and they're not there, and he writes. On his visiting card, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens the door, like, you know, will sup with me, or something like, he quotes Revelation 3:20. He just writes the verse, okay? And then the next day morning, in the offering basket, he gets his visiting card again. Like, you know, someone has put it, the same person. And then they have quoted, like, you know, Genesis 3:10. I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So, might have happened, you know, who knows. Okay, so the point here is that God was walking in the cool of the day, okay? A lot of stuff had happened. There was, you know, the devil did everything that he could do. Did God know about it? Was he ignorant of it? The Adam and Eve were vulnerable. Did God know about it? But then, cool of the day would be more like evening-ish, like 4 o'clock or something. You're like nice walk in a park or something like that. God is walking in the cool of the day. And, you know, oh boy, like, we can ask questions like, why did God put the tree in the of knowledge in the garden? We can ask God, why did God allow Satan in the garden in the first place? You know how like a parent can be very overprotective about their children and like, you know, not let them face any danger whatsoever. And like, if God were like that, he would have like, you know, protected Adam and Eve and like sent them maybe like cut fruit every day. You just have this, you know, you'll be happy or something. But it's just that God was like, I don't know, like we can say very secure about who he is in himself, that he is love, okay? And he is very relaxed in knowing and in being who He is. Okay? And this cool of the day, you can compare it to like faith rest that the believer can have. Okay? God walked in the cool of the day and Adam had fallen. Then later came the second Adam, right? Jesus. And then the Father spoke from heaven three times, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." He did the will of the Father perfectly. Okay? And the believer, now, you and I are like this, walking in the context of God's love. And God is waiting to say, "Well done," to you and I. God is waiting for us to like have both faith and love work in our lives so He can say, "Well done." Okay? In our experience, whenever we remove ourselves from the context of love, that is when that Jeremiah 17, like the arm of the flesh man, comes up. Okay? Like, "I think I am somebody," you know, self-righteousness. "I'm a good moral person. I'm a good church person. I have been in the church all my life." And I think, like, you know, something makes me feel like I'm better than the guy or the lady sitting next to me, you know? Can you see how that is? But you step back in to the sphere of God's love, and God shows us what it means to have faith rest, to walk as in we are walking in the cool of the day, okay? To have, not just to know what meaning and purpose is, but to have the power to live a life filled with meaning and purpose. That is the message, okay? And so God told the Ephesian church, right, you are lacking something. You have everything, but you're lacking your first love. And in the ABD, we've heard, like, from Pastor Stevens, he said it's like the honeymoon kind of love with God. And in a sense, the warning to that church was, you think you're okay, but you're not. Okay? How do I know, if I think I'm okay, but I'm not, how do I know that? A good way to check that is, like, it's like this. God is like telling the Ephesian church, you can say a lot, you can do a lot. You fight doctrines of like false doctrines. You fight false teachers. You're faithful in everything. But one thing you lack, you cannot greet one another with a holy kiss. Just saying in application, okay? Cannot greet one another. So you, Romans chapter 1 to 16, 15, everything is there, but that 16, I cannot do, you know. But let's come back to the sphere of God's love and faith rest in it, okay? To have, and the, so it means a relaxed mindset, okay? A relaxed mindset. Can you think of examples where things were happening? You can compare like things that happened in the heat of the day, okay? Like, God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, but what happened in the heat of the day when there was like, say, afternoon or something? This conversation was happening with Satan, right? with the serpent. But God didn't come then. You take a lot of examples. That same Pharisee, Simon and the Pharisee, right? And the Pharisee is thinking what? He is thinking thoughts in the heat of the day. Like, you know, like this, if this Jesus was like really a teacher, he would know, you know, all that. He's thinking in the heat of the day. And what is Jesus answering him? I have somewhat to say to you. He's answering him in the cool of the day. Okay? Example. Agilesh in the back said one comment in the middle that having faith rest means you're not anxious, right? Now here is the thing. Heat of the day, or like God can say, persecution will come, trouble will come. When diverse trials and temptation comes, count it all joy. He's saying that. But also in Philippians, he's saying, be anxious for nothing. Okay? That's like amazing. We are built for like incredible trials and crazy things in warfare or like in our lives, all that stuff. But we are not built to be anxious. We are not built to say have like a divided heart. Can you see? Yeah, I almost done with what I have to say. So what is a relaxed mind? A relaxed mindset. It's a mind that is reflecting on what God has done and what God is doing and what God is speaking. You could be a very busy person. You could be very productive and yet have a relaxed mindset, thinking like this in your life. Or you could appear very relaxed outside, but inside you could be like very anxious. See the difference? So just want to say that faith rest is in the sphere of God's love. And that is the key to have the power to live a life filled with meaning and purpose. Okay? Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. We pray that you would bless the thoughts from this message tonight. Thank you for giving us such a sweet fellowship, teaching us to really have power and authority in our lives, to walk before you boldly, to approach you boldly, and receive exactly what we need for our situations. God, we pray for this week remaining. We pray for healing for people who are sick and down with virals. Manoj and Pinky and others. God, may you say a word and you could like heal them. Say a word and you could break strongholds in our heart. And you say a word and you could draw us back into the sphere of your love. God, we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.